enforcers clean up any ash, make sure there's no security cameras, and if there are, take them, along with the recording equipment. I'm out of here. He walked toward the door. I'll burn it down, Kevin snarled. Glacier swung around. You still have a master and at least one Nest member in your town. You do that, and I'm fucking out of here. A fire could spread to other buildings, hurting innocents. Stop being a dick. You've killed 5 vamps today. There's no reason to destroy the place where they slept. He stormed out and climbed into the driver's seat of one of the vans, starting it. The Lycans could pile into the second one. He drove away. He returned the van to a secluded parking lot and spotted a familiar face. Graves came forward, the Lycan looking grim.
That was fast. Did they move locations?
The master wasn't there. He probably took his second in command with him since another was missing. I'm just hoping he didn't turn 5 humans and leave them there in the hopes of fooling the pack that they got the ones responsible for their dead kids. Then again, the Alpha is a dick. I doubt he'd give a shit if those were the guilty ones or not. Glacier removed the uniform he wore over his clothes and threw it into the van.
I've heard that about Kevin. Hot-headed, not too bright, and his control on his pack isn't the best. I've had to come to this area 3 times before to take down idiots who used to belong to him. He's shit at policing his own. Thanks for your help.
Graves nodded.
You need anything else? Get rid of the explosives in the back of the van and wipe it down for me? You got it. I could stick around for a few days if you need help locating this master. I don't usually track neck suckers, but it wouldn't be the first time.
One of my brothers flew in overnight. We've got this handled, but thanks with the van and uniforms. It was a high-traffic part of town. No way were we getting into that restaurant without drawing a hell of a lot of attention. The ruse worked.
I've had to make a lot of contacts in my line of work.
Graves shrugged.
No biggie. I'm always willing to help out the clans. Nobody wants humans to become suspicious. You've helped me out in the past.
Still grateful to you. Glacier held out his arm. Graves gripped it, and they nodded at each other.
I think I'll hang out for a day or two, just in case. Call me if you need anything.
Thanks. I'm going to return to the shop and say hello to my brother.
Watch out for Kevin. Not kidding about the hothead part. You never struck me as one to get along well with assholes.
Glacier chuckled.
I think we have that in common. You know it.
Graves released him, striding toward the van. Glacier went to his motorcycle and climbed on. He hated to wear a helmet, but it was a human law in the state. He shoved it on, started the engine, and glanced around. The sensation of being watched struck suddenly, but he brushed it off just as quickly. It was probably Graves. He drove away, heading toward the shop. Pest opened the door to the alley after Glacier finished parking. He hugged his brother, glad to see him.
You made it. Thanks for coming.
Is she really an assassin for the Vampire Council? Because I have to tell you, I laughed when she said that.
It's true.
Fuck. I guess they get points for surprise. Since who'd have thought, huh?
Is she sleeping?
Yeah, it's why I came down to talk to you. She can actually wake during the day. Are you sure she's as young as she claims?
I knew her when she used to be human. Did she tell you there's a second assassin in town, too?
Pest scowled.
No. It's another woman. Happens to be Mandy's best friend. And it seems the council doesn't exactly take no for an answer when they give their vamps an order. I'm the target the council sent them after.
Do you want me to go hunt the other assassin down and take her out?
No. I plan to avoid her at all costs. That way I don't have to explain to Mandy that I had no choice but to kill her bestie.
Pest cocked his head, narrowing his eyes. And you care why?
Mandy was always a sweetheart. She still is. The change didn't harden her heart.
You hope it didn't.
You spent time with her. What do you think?
Gut instinct, Pest. His brother sighed.
I thought her being an assassin was a fucking joke. She seems soft. Like, maybe she was just turned and hasn't seen any shit yet. She claimed to have grown up with a domestic violence background, but wanted to be a better person back when I knew her. I don't think that's changed. She's just not human anymore. What can I do to help while I'm here, bro? I don't trust Kevin. One of his enforcers already came after her. I didn't mention to the pack that you flew in. I can't be in two places at once, and I'm here to wipe out that nest. Mandy isn't included. What the hell are you gonna do with her when this mission is complete? Glacier shook his head. Fuck if I know. You're in dangerous waters. No shit. She doesn't deserve to die, though. You met her, Pest. I also remember you being upset about a human named Mandy on that cult leader wannabe job a long time ago. Same woman, right?
Yes.
Shit. Pest sighed. You still have feelings for her. It's never a good thing, and the fact that she's a vamp? Monumental bad idea to get involved. You know the score. There's no win here. Glacier didn't need to be told that.
One day at a time right now.
Pest snorted. I'll keep Short Stack safe, but you need to figure this mess out and find a solution. Does Kelzeb know you have a past with her?
He's got an idea. I've told him enough.
Did you tell him I flew in?
Nobody knows you're here but me, Mandy, and I told Graves.
He's not one to talk. He's in town?
I needed a few favors.
Get some rest. You look tired. I'm sleeping in the hallway outside the bedroom. Couldn't you have found somewhere to stay with two bedrooms? And for fuck's sake, don't let her bite you if you do the nasty. Glacier clenched his teeth and entered the shop, his brother behind him. He avoided going upstairs, though. It would be a bad thing to climb into bed with Mandy.
I'll sleep on the floor down here.
Chapter 7. Mandy woke alone, but she heard murmured male voices she identified downstairs. The sun hung low in the sky, judging by her instincts. She climbed out of bed, made a stop in the bathroom to freshen up, and walked down the stairs. The voices became silent. Glacier and his brother were seated on the floor eating sandwiches and bags of chips. Both flashed her smiles, but they didn't reach their eyes.
How did it go with the nest? Are they extinguished?
Not all of them. Come here.
Glacier patted the floor next to him.
You met the nest, right?
Briefly.
She carefully sat, tugging at the shirt to keep her modesty since she wasn't wearing pants. It was one of Glacier's, though, fitting her more like an oversized dress. Glacier withdrew his phone and handed it to her.
See if you can identify any of these faces as being Nest members.
She stared at the first one.
Yes.
He reached over, their hands touching as he flipped to another pick. She studied it.
Yeah, Mr. Ugly Shoes. They were orange with green marker on the sides. Not something I'd forget.
Tell me if any of these are the master.
Glacier flipped to another, and then another pick, five in all. She had seen them with Marco the night she'd met him. All of them were slumbering in the pictures. She turned her head, staring up at him.
Marco isn't one of them. What's going on?
I suspected that, but wanted confirmation. Marco and one other Nest member weren't sleeping under the restaurant this morning, but he'd left them behind.
She frowned.
How many day guards?
None.
She thought about it.
He sacrificed them to switch up the game.
Damn.
Call your alpha friend and tell him to expect an attack tonight.
Glacier took his phone back and pocketed it.
You think the hunted will become the hunters?
Old tactic, unfortunately, right out of the shitty master playbook. He left them there to die, probably even put word out on the street where they were located to make sure the werewolves found them, and now he'll go after the alpha tonight. Cut off the head of a pack and chaos results. Marco knows the enforcers will challenge each other to take leadership. At best, a few will die, or they'll be severely injured if it's not death matches. It will make it easier for him to kill them all.
Maybe he just ran.
She looked over at Pest, shaking her head. Marco is a conceited jackass. He'd never live it down if a pack chased him out of his own town. He's also got connections to someone on the council. It would be an unforgivable embarrassment if he fled his territory. Nothing would make him lose face faster than that. It might even earn him a spot on an assassin's hit list. No, he kept Pedro alive since he's not one of the vampires in the photos. That's his second. I'd bet money Marco has been feeding him his blood to make him stronger. The two of them will go after the Alpha first. Then, while the enforcers are distracted by deciding who leads the pack, he'll attack. Marco and his second won't stop until everywhere they considered a threat is dead. I've seen it happen before.
Glacier stood. Fuck. I better get my ass to pack headquarters.
You'd better hurry. I can sense that the sun is down enough that I could go outside as long as I stick to the shadows. It's why I'm not worried about the dirty windows down here. Who knows how close Marco and his second got to pack territory to be able to strike fast? Marco will know the werewolves will have their guard down, assuming they've been victorious.
Glacier rushed toward the back door. Stay together.
She jumped up, moving in case some sunlight streamed in. Be careful.
He was gone, and she heard a motorcycle engine rev, then take off fast. Pest locked the door and retook his seat on the floor.
It almost seems as if you want to help the pack instead of your own kind. Curious.
Marco targeted pups. He's not worthy of my protection. I hope Glacier kills him.
Sit down. Are you hungry? I'm not offering my blood, but I could escort you outside to grab a bite. It's a shit neighborhood. You probably wouldn't even have to leave the alley.
I'm fine. I fed last night when that werewolf attacked me. I'm good for a few days.
So not a newbie.
I keep telling you that. I'm highly trained and ancient bloodlines have been introduced to my body. I only suffer from hunger after about 3 days of going without blood.
How does that work? You having abilities that only older vampires should have.
She sat back down on the floor. You want the official vamp bullshit or my take on it?
Yours.
I view vampirism like a virus. I got upgraded to better, stronger strains of it. He chuckled. It's kind of true. Just never repeat that I called it that. Vamps get bent out of shape being called a virus. They like to think it's more of a gift from the gods or some such shit. Only the blessed are turned, according to the council. Yeah, right. I've taken out plenty of jerks who were probably psychopaths as humans and grew 10 times worse after being turned. Anyway, the older a vamp gets, the more strength they acquire. The virus grows stronger. Sharing their blood with weaker vamps makes the weak ones stronger. But masters won't offer their wrists to just anyone in a nest after they've been turned, unless that master absolutely trusts them. Enough feedings and they'd become equal in strength. Not a good idea, since most masters are dicks who'd end up being killed by their own nests. It's against council laws, but they might get away with it if they all stuck to the same story and blamed someone else. That's what I'd do if I thought I could get away with taking out a few of the council members. He laughed deeper.
I like you, Shortstack.
Mandy. His humor faded, and something weird happened with his eyes. They seemed to darken from blue to near black.
My brother is protective of you. That's a problem.
She eyed him warily. Are you going to try to kill me? It would be nice to have a warning of your intent.
No. Glacier wouldn't forgive me for that unless I was given no choice. But I will chain your ass to that bench downstairs if you attempt to leave or bite me.
Fair enough. I gave Glacier my word that I would stay here. I don't make promises unless I plan to keep them. I also don't bite for the hell of it. I told you, I'm not hungry.
How do you see this ending?
She shrugged. I'm not sure what you mean.
With Glacier. This assignment will end as soon as that master is dealt with. He'll be sent somewhere else. Do you expect him to just let you go? Send you on your way?
Truthfully? I don't know why I'm still alive. I've given him opportunities to kill me. I've even stepped into the shower to make it easier for him to cut off my head. No mess, no hassle. He didn't do it, she sighed. As for going free? The council has all their property. That would include me, embedded with trackers. We go off-grid and they put death orders out on us. There's no escaping them. Glacier removed my tracker. But that doesn't mean the council necessarily believes I'm the ashes Olivia would have found when she was sent to find out what happened to me. Even if they do, someone will see me at some point if he lets me go. Nowhere would be safe for me to hide. As I've told your brother, I'm already dead, Pest. I figure I'll meet the sun when your brother leaves, if he doesn't have the heart to kill me himself. He looked a bit stunned. Any more questions?
You want me to believe you'd ash yourself?
It would be better than being captured and taken before the council. Those bastards can think up 1,000 ways to make me scream in agony, heal me, and do it all over again before they finally allow me to die. I know exactly how vicious vampires can be. They'd set an example by me and probably force all the other assassins to watch it go down. To see a sunrise one last time doesn't sound so bad in comparison, does it?
It would hurt.
I've been thrown out into the sun more than once during training. Believe me, I know. But it would be quicker than being tortured.
You could try to kill my brother and take your council his head. They'd forgive you if you admit he captured you and stole your tracker.
She felt sadness at his words. Wow. Either your opinion of women in general sucks, or you've met some seriously shitty vampires in your lifetime. Glacier is a protector. He's a good man. My life already ended when I was turned into this. I've tried to do my best to survive since. Never has that included murdering someone who I knew didn't deserve it. This vampire has lines she won't cross. I'd never hurt Glacier. Ever. She got up. Enough of this topic. It's depressing. I'm going to go take a shower. Is that all right?
Are you going to try to run?
She shook her head. What part of I keep my promises did you not understand? But go ahead. Stay on alert. Just do it from outside the bathroom, please. I wouldn't fit through that tiny window, and you'd hear if I tried to break through a wall. She walked upstairs and entered the bathroom, firmly closing the door behind her. She turned on the water, waiting while it heated before finally stripping off the oversized shirt she wore. Her thoughts were centered on Glacier. Worried about him. Glacier felt utter disgust. Kevin, his enforcers, and a large part of the pack weren't in lockdown anymore. Instead, they were outside, most of them drunk, throwing a party. Graves had been right about the pack being led by an idiot. He approached the Alpha.
What the hell?
Kevin faced him, grinning.
We didn't need you after all. Why are you still here? The Master and his second are still on the loose. You know this.
Kevin snorted.
Who cares? He's probably in another state. We scared the shit out of them and they're running for their lives. Have a drink, Garlican. Chill out. We won. Marco is going to come after you with his second, kill you and then pick off your pack while they're in turmoil without an Alpha. Let the fuckers try,
Kevin snarled. He took a step toward Glacier and staggered. Glacier grabbed him by his wrists.
You're drunk and can't even walk straight. Do you honestly think you could fight a master vamp and win in this condition? Sober up!
He shook him hard and released him. Kevin began to shift, his claws and fur sprouting. Glacier wasn't in the damn mood for a pathetic fight. He decked him in the face, knocking him out cold. The Alpha's body hit the ground and everyone at the party became absolutely silent. Shock showed on their features as Glacier glanced around. He shelled his skin until it became a light gray.
The party is over. Your Alpha is too damn drunk to be rational right now. You called me here to deal with this vamp situation. Everyone seek shelter immediately and return into lockdown mode.
Spread the word if anyone left the area. They are in danger. All of you are. There's a master vamp and his second on their way here.
He pointed to an enforcer.
Pick Kevin up and carry him to the war room. Take at least 6 fighters with you to guard his ass. You hear me?
Teeny rushed forward. You're taking over the pack?
For tonight, yes I am. Follow my orders.
He stripped his upper body and let his wings come out.
I'm going to be patrolling the air. Everyone in lockdown. I'll handle this mess. You just stay alive.
He launched himself into the air. Kelzeb wasn't going to be happy about what he'd done to Kevin or how he'd taken control of the situation, but he'd deal with it later. He'd become a guardian to protect Pax from threats, even idiot alphas. He'd be damned before he allowed them to be slaughtered. He flew high, scanning the woods at the edge of the city. He didn't spot 2 vampires, but they could already be inside the territory, hiding in one of the lichen homes abandoned after the pack had gone into lockdown. He turned, flying toward the pack house where the majority of the lichens had been staying. That would be the target. He landed on the roof of the pack house and crouched, alert. It might be a long night, but come morning, he and Kevin would have issues. The Alpha would probably want to challenge him. It wasn't as if he'd had a choice to pull rank the way he had. He just didn't plan to become their new Alpha. A short time passed, and finally, he spotted movement near the trees. 4 dark-clad figures darted closer, keeping out of the open. He lifted to his feet, spread his wings, and coasted to the ground. His boots made a thumping sound as he landed. He shelled his skin into battle mode. It would slow him down a little, but also deflect bullets if the bastards were armed. He strode forward, right toward them.
Marco!
All 4 of them hid behind thick tree trunks. Glacier sighed.
I saw you. Stop dicking around. I am in no mood to play hide-and-seek. I'm Glacier, the Gar Lichen. You went after Lichen kids. Big fucking no. Step out here and speak to me.
None of them moved. He inhaled.
I smell you, vamps. See the wings? I fly. You can't outrun me. Talk or I'm just gonna rip you apart. Your call. Make it.
One of the men stepped out from behind a tree but stayed next to it.
This is none of your concern, Garlichen. Are you Marco?
The man inclined his head slightly.
You made 2 more vamps? I counted 4 of you. I don't answer to you. Wrong. It became my problem when you stole Lichen kids and killed them. I found the warehouse where you held them.
It still sickened him. The bodies had been shoved in the basement, dumped in trash bags as if they were garbage.
You put them in cages, tortured them, based on the amount of blood I found in that hellish holding place, and then made them fight against each other in your fucked up fighting ring. Did you really think you could get away with that? Yes!
Marco flashed his fangs and his eyes glowed bright. Glacier felt what the bastard was trying to do.
You're wasting your time, asshole. Gargoyles have thick skulls. You can't fuck with my head.
Marco reached back and withdrew a handgun.
It tickles a little when you try to control me.
Glacier reached up and tapped his temple.
Just a little buzz, like some annoying insect. And you think bullets will take me down? You're as stupid as the alpha of this pack.
Glacier hardened his shell a little more and pushed out his chest, keeping his hand up, ready to protect his eyes. They were the only soft spots he had. Marco began to fire. Glacier threw his arm over his eyes, feeling bullets slam into his chest, 1 to his hip, and another grazing the top of his head. He lunged forward, spread his wings wide, and jumped high, spinning in the air as he came down. A scream pierced the night, and the gun stopped firing. Glacier lowered his arm, staring at the vampire on the ground. His wing had cut the bastard in half near his ribcage. Horror transfixed the master's features as he realized his entire lower body wasn't attached anymore, and had already begun to ash.
No! Yeah, that's some fucked up shit right there. Glacier admitted. You bastards are hard to kill without taking your head. You can live like that for a bit. I've seen it before. Your heart is still beating. You won't be able to feed, though, since you lost your stomach. You'll just linger as you slowly starve to death. It could take weeks. I hear it's really painful.
He crouched, ripping the gun from Marco's hand before he stood again.
Why did you think you could murder Lycan kids and get away with it? Who's your contact on the Vampire Council? Tell me, and I'll end your suffering.
Marco clawed at the ground, making agonizing sounds, and managed to roll over onto his chest. He used the dirt and grass to inch away. Glacier watched him, knowing the master wasn't going to get far. He glanced at the other trees.
Three of you are left. I want an answer, since this one isn't talkative. First one to tell me what I want to know gets a 2-hour head start before I begin hunting your ass. It's the best offer you're gonna get from me.
10 feet away, a red-headed vamp male peeked out from behind a tree. He looked about 20 years old.
He didn't tell us. Ronnie and I were made 2 nights ago. I didn't know about any kids being killed either. Shut the fuck up!
A male snapped to the left. Glacier turned that way.
You must be Pedro.
The guy stepped out from behind another tree, holding a gun. Glacier lifted his arm to keep it close to his eyes and braced his elbow as if using it to lean against the nearby tree trunk.
You fucking monster!
Pedro glared at Glacier before shifting his attention to what was left of Marco, his body shaking.
I don't kill children, asshole. Look in a mirror if you want to see a villain. Why did Marco think it was okay to kidnap Lycan kids without your own damn council coming after your nest? Tell him nothing,
Marco hissed, now about 15 feet away, still crawling slowly. Glacier stared at Pedro.
You see what I did to him? I could cut you in half, too. Just to be clear, he's not getting away. I may let him crawl around for an hour or so first. I want the name of the council member who protected your nest. Fuck you!
Pedro lifted the gun.
You know those don't work against me.
Glacier tensed, though, prepared in case the bastard wanted to waste bullets. Pedro darted behind the trees and gunshots rang out, only he wasn't aiming at Glacier. He shot Marco in the back of the head at least 3 times before fleeing. Glacier walked over to the still master, knowing his brain would heal, probably real slow since he was already so damaged. He bent, pulled his blade from his boot, and removed his head. Problem solved. Marco went out too fast, though. Glacier turned, listening.
You two, out here now!
The one who'd peeked at him did it again. Glacier saw raw fear in his eyes.
Your friend, too. I want answers. We were just turned,
the redhead whispered.
Please don't kill us. We didn't ask for this. Marco grabbed us coming out of a bar. Ronnie and I have been best friends since we were in diapers. Step out where I can see you, Ronnie. Now!
A dark-haired guy, about 20 years old, lifted his head over a bush. He looked ready to faint. It saddened Glacier, reminding him of Mandy. She'd been human, minding her own business, and had been snatched into a nest.
I'm not gonna kill you. I'm going to ask you questions. You're going to answer them. Then I'm going to send you to somewhere safe.
Both men seemed leery as hell. Not that Glacier blamed them, but they came out of hiding. Both also appeared scared shitless. He focused on the redhead since he knew he could talk.
What's your name?
I'm Richie. This is Ronnie.
You two a couple?
They both shook their heads.
Too bad. That would have been cute on your wedding invitations.
Glacier wanted them to relax, but neither broke a smile. Apparently, humor was off the table.
What did Marco tell you about the pack you were going to attack?
He said they were rabid animal people who could shift into wolves and had been attacking people in the city. Pedro taught us how to fight a little. Mostly, we were here to watch and learn.
That was all a lie. Sorry to break it to you both, but I think you were bait.
Marco would have let the pack tear you to shreds as a distraction while he went after their alpha. Be happy that didn't happen. Lycans aren't rabid, but they are vicious to vamps. Did Marco talk to any other vampires around you besides Pedro?
He made a phone call. Ronnie had a voice after all. I never heard him say a name. Something about how he'd take care of the situation and send more videos as soon as he could make more. I got the impression it was a man, though. He said it gave him wood, too, like he was agreeing with the person, and girls don't get that.
Glacier let that information stew in his head.
Videos? He came up with nothing.
Where did you come from?
We both live at home with our parents, Richie admitted.
I meant, where were you staying with Marco and Pedro?
The basement of a tire store. It closed down a few years ago. The one on Mitch Street, right outside the city.
Richie hugged his waist.
You're really going to let us go?
What are you? Ronnie gawked at him.
Return there. I'm sending a friend your way. Don't fucking attack him, got it? His name is Graves. He kills bad guys for a living, so I wouldn't think of trying something. He's a Lycan, but he knows some decent vampires to pass you over to. Oh, and no killing anyone or you die. Clear? No biting kids, old people, and you don't let humans know what you are. Have you fed tonight?
Both nodded.
Excellent. No biting anyone until Graves comes to you as soon as he can. Run back there now.
He waved a hand at them.
Fast as you can.
Both fled into the woods. Glacier reached back, grabbed his cell, and called Graves. The Lycan answered on the first ring.
I need another favor. You still in the area?
Yeah, I am. What do you need?
I've got two newbie vamps who need a home. Total pity case. Marco made them to use as bait. Both look right out of high school and are 2 days old. See if they're salvageable.
He gave him the location.
You got any ideas on any vamps who'd take them?
Yeah, we're on good terms with a master near our territory. He's pretty decent, follows the rules, and he'll take them in if they aren't crazy. I'll pick up the newbies and call Parker to let him know I'm driving them to him.
Thanks. I have one last asshole to chase after.
Glacier hung up, returning his phone to his pocket. He walked out of the thick trees and took to the sky, heading in the direction of the abandoned tire store. It was probably where Pedro would go. He flew over the two newbie vamps he'd just sent fleeing, glad to see they were following his orders. He blamed Mandy for his decision to give Richie and Ronnie a shot at life. Usually, he'd have just ended theirs. Vamps without masters never lasted long on their own, without becoming rogue.
Chapter 8. It took him over 2 hours to find Pedro. The bastard had come across a cave to crawl into, probably thinking he'd be safe there. Glacier had gone to ground, tracking him once he realized the vamp wasn't on his way to the tire shop. Pedro had refused to give him answers, instead shooting his weapon. A large human community was located a block away, and sirens had begun to sound, so Glacier hadn't messed around. He'd ashed the bastard and flew out of there before the cops arrived. He returned to the Lycan Pack safe house and knocked on the door.
It's Glacier.
Teeny unlocked the thick door and shoved it open.
The threat is over. Marco and his second are toast. There won't be any more Lycan kids taken by that nest. It's destroyed.
Teeny stepped outside and closed the door.
There's a debate going on inside.
About what?
How easily you took down Kevin, and how much safer we'd all be if you become our alpha.
He snorted.
That's never going to happen. Discussion over. I'm not saying I think Kevin is the best choice to lead your pack, but it sure as hell won't be me. I'm leaving. You're all safe to come out of lockdown now.
We need you.
Lots of Lycan packs need me. I'm a guardian, Teeny, not an alpha.
You're half werewolf. You belong here.
He tucked his wings before knocking, but he spread them out to make a point.
This is my version of shifting.
He hardened his skin to a dull gray and then unshelled.
A mostly gargoyle. I don't grow fur or a tail. No four legs, just two. Forget it. I'm leaving now. Tell everyone the danger has passed. I know Kevin will have issues with me when he wakes in the morning. Tell him it's best if he doesn't.
He spun, walked to where he dropped his shirt, and put it on after he retracted his wings. The motorcycle engine purred under him as he started it. He felt more than ready to get back to Mandy and Pest. He also planned to call Graves before dawn for an update to see how things had gone with the newbie vamps. He stopped for fast food on the way and finally pulled into the alley. Pest came out to greet him.
Handled? Yeah. Hungry? Sure am. I didn't want to leave Shortstack alone. Don't call her that. Her name is Mandy.
Pest chuckled.
She keeps telling me that too.
Pest blocked his way to the door, his expression turning serious as he lowered his voice.
What are you gonna do now? The mission is over, right? I'll ask Kelzeb where he wants me to go next. Same as always.
Pest stepped closer, locking gazes with him.
I'm going to take her with me. I don't want to leave her alone, Pest. Kelzeb didn't order me to kill her. Just said not to bring her to the cliffs. It's not as if we go home often. The last time was when Creed had to take out our shithead father. Now Creed is back with Angel's Pack, being their guardian. We can visit him and his mate there.
What about biting? She's a vamp. Do I need to have the sex talk with you?
Fuck you. I'm older than you are. I gave you the talk about girls, if I remember right.
Vamps like to use fangs during sex.
I'm not even sure if you could get her off without some blood involved. Guess I'll find out, if we ever have sex. We haven't.
Then what's the point of keeping her with you? Are you into torturing yourself these days?
I couldn't live with a woman without nailing her every chance I got. Stop being a dick. Just let it go. I'm grateful that you came, but I'll handle this shit. I'm worried.
Glacier nodded.
Me too,
he admitted.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I want to keep her with me. Mandy and I will have to figure it out.
The nest is completely wiped out?
Glacier filled him in on the details. Pest shook his head.
Fuck. You sent Greaves to pick up two new vamps and asked him to rehome them? They aren't kittens, for fuck's sake. I know, but they weren't exactly dangerous either. They lived with their parents until they were grabbed. It would have been like killing kittens.
Maybe you should take some time off, bro. Like, seriously. Deal with this shit with Shortstack. Figure out how you feel and why you're so protective of her before you take on another job. I get why you knocked out Kevin. He sounds like a dumbass, but his pack is probably going to challenge him now. You took him down in front of them. Then let two vamps live.
I bet you didn't share that tidbit with the pack. Richie and Ronnie didn't hurt those Lycan kids. They were only made to be bait. I asked Graves to pick them up to avoid them being shredded by the pack. Kevin never needs to know about them. He's such an asshole he'd hunt them just because Marco made them, despite their innocence.
True, Pest sighed.
Y'all fucked up.
Thanks.
He stepped around his brother.
I'm going in. Let's eat.
Mandy waited inside, her gaze going down the length of him. He smiled. She looked worried about him.
I'm fine.
She rushed at him and dropped to her knees, touching his hip through the material. Then why is there a hole here? Pest came in and closed the door.
Should I go back out? I admit I think it's dangerous to get a blowjob from a vamp. I'm giving you points for bravery, bro.
Glacier turned his head and shot him a dirty look. He reached down, grabbed Mandy by her upper arms, and hauled her to her feet.
I'm fine. You don't smell blood, do you?
She sniffed. No.
Unhurt, just like I said.
Why do you have a hole in your jeans, then? She frowned at him.
She has no fucking clue, does she?
Pest took a seat on the counter.
You have to tell her.
Glacier released Mandy.
I'm going to eat, and then I have to call my boss to fill him in on what happened.
He backed away from her to pass out the burgers and fries he'd picked up. Bottled water had been stacked near the door. He took one, drinking deep. Is the nest taken care of? Mandy walked over to the stairs and took a seat.
Marco and Pedro have been ashed. They won't be going after more liking kids.
The council won't be happy. At least one member won't be, if I'm right and Marco has a friend.
Speaking of, a conversation was overheard. Marco talked to someone about videos and getting aroused over them. What do you make of that, Mandy?
Glacier sat on the floor, unwrapping one of the cheeseburgers. He ate it with gusto. Mandy jumped to her feet, pacing. He watched her, thinking she was cute as her expressions changed, obviously considering what he had said. She finally stopped, holding his gaze. Her pale skin appeared whiter than normal. Mandy wanted to curse and punch something. Only one thing comes to mind. About 5 years ago, a master reported to the council that he'd gotten an invitation to a website. It was from another master in Arizona, kind of a pay-for-membership thing, but very hush-hush. Log in and fees required to access the content. It was rumored to be a way for vampires to form alliances without the council being informed. The council keeps track of connections between nests to avoid an uprising. Xander was too terrified to get involved with any kind of potential plot against our council.
Great. Vamps have a rebel website now? Pest grunted.
Mandy nodded. They did. Olivia and I were sent out with Dante. He's an assassin we live with.
You have a companion? Pest growled. My brother is putting his ass on the line for you and you're fucking someone?
She stared at him. No. I live with 9 other assassins. I'm not having sex with any of them. Can I finish now? Pest nodded, looking chagrined as he shoved fries into his mouth. Dante pretended to be Xander, the master who'd been invited to the website. We were under orders to find out if they were plotting against the council and how many nests were involved. As soon as Dante paid the money and got the password, we logged on. They had some videos of illegal activities on the site. Mild propaganda, kind of like we could do this to anyone we wanted if the council wasn't around anymore. Watch and get motivated type of crap. It was sick. Glacier stopped eating and got up, approaching her.
What kinds of videos? Liking kids fighting?
She shook her head. Not kids, but there were a few videos of adult werewolves fighting each other. They were collared and looked abused, half-starved, as if they'd been in captivity for a while. Werewolves go into heat, and the prize to the winning male was a human female. She hesitated. For sex. They had videos of that on there, too. They threw those women in with the mindless men after they'd fought. The council wanted to shut that shit down fast. I told you, they don't want to draw the attention of the vamp lichens. That would have done it. Missing werewolves and human women combined? Big red flag.
Fuck.
Pez stopped eating too. Mostly, though, it was abuse of other vampires.
I didn't think the council would give a shit about that.
Mandy stared into Glacier's eyes. They do when masters are creating new vamps at an alarming rate just so they can pit them against soldiers they've made for the sole purpose of fighting and making bets on how long the vamps survive. The answer, from what I saw, is less than 5 minutes, by the way. Lots of videos of that shit going down were loaded. There are laws about soldiers, strict ones.
Like what?
Glacier took her hand and led her to the closest counter, lifted her, and sat her on it. He took a seat next to her. Have you ever seen a soldier? Know what one is?
Unfortunately, yes.
She hated them. A shiver ran down her spine. They're very unstable, and the longer they're alive, the more dangerous they become, especially if they're hurt. They don't heal the way I do. They become more unbalanced every time they're injured. The council demands any master seek permission to create soldiers first. I've been sent to monitor those situations twice. The first time, it was a master of a large nest who'd survived an uprising by his own. It's against the law for a nest to kill its master. The master didn't just want his vamps exterminated, but to go out in a grisly way. The council agreed. 5 soldiers were made. Myself and 6 other assassins were sent to make sure none of the soldiers survived after their task had been completed. We also trapped the nest inside the building where they slept to avoid any escaping.
Why not just have other vamps kill them and be vicious about it?
She looked down at Pest. Soldiers are more brutal than your average vampire. As in, they literally bite into you and take out chunks. Think gory, blood-spraying kind of nightmare shit where they're soaked in blood. They don't remove the heads of their vampire targets. They just keep biting, tearing their prey apart until not enough is left to survive. They are insane. It's like the vilest way possible for our kind to die. It's a form of punishment for the worst crimes. The master destroyed the soldiers after they killed everyone in his nest.
You said there were 2 situations.
Glacier reached out and took her hand, as if he knew remembering wasn't easy on her. She gripped his hand back, holding on. The second time, a master had created 3 of them without permission. He was just a shithead who was curious to see if he could make them and what they could do. Problem was, he left them alive for too long after running his tests. They degraded enough to stop taking orders, attacked all 4 members of his nest, and killed them. The master fought them off, but he got trapped when part of his basement hideout collapsed, pinning him under a beam. Fortunately, he had his cell phone and got a signal. He had to call for help. We came. But 7 humans died as a result before we were able to kill the soldiers. It was hell. Glacier slid closer, released her hand, and put his arm around her shoulders. She liked that he tried to comfort her.
You don't have to say anything else.
No, it's fine. It was the smell of death that drew us. Their soldier bodies had rotted that much. Plus, the sickos had dragged their victims into the storm drain where they were hiding. I'd been trained how to deal with soldiers and warned about what they were like to battle. Nothing prepared me for the real thing, though. They just don't go down or react to pain the way someone else would. It just drives them into more of a frenzy. I never want to have to take them on again. I had nightmares for months after that.
Were you hurt?
I wore protective gear that kept them from biting me, but I suffered broken bones. Those fuckers are strong.
You have protective gear against biters? Damn, that's kind of cool.
She smiled at Pest. Yes, we do. Vampires love to swarm. Being repeatedly bitten and bleeding from multiple wounds will weaken anyone. Think metal mesh sewn between the soft inner material and the tougher exterior of a uniform. We just have to watch our joints where there's no mesh. She raised one arm and bent her elbow. Plus, a throat plate around our necks and a helmet that locks to it. It protects my throat from bites and my head from being removed. Part of an assassin's job at times is extinguishing a nest.
I don't want to hear how dangerous your job was.
Glacier released her shoulder and slid off the counter before he turned, holding her gaze.
Why did you bring up that website? Is that the only video connection you could think of? Do you think Marco had opened something like that?
Here's the thing. We investigated for weeks. Dante had to make friends since the other online members had bogus names. He used Olivia and I as bait to get other vampires to meet with him. Glacier looked wary.
What the hell does that mean?
Dante said he owned 2 well-trained lovers he had grown tired of after 20 years. Whatever fetishes they had, he swore we were into. We needed face-to-face meetings to identify who the players were.
Pest whistled. You had to fuck masters?
No, she sighed. Dante introduced us to the men, though, and made promises to gift us to each new friend soon. After we had identified 10 of them, the council had all of them arrested for questioning. They gave up Barclay Brimstone. He was arrested and imprisoned, since he refused to give up the true names of other masters who had joined his website.
Rumor had it that he admitted to making alliances with over 50 masters in the U.S., and even more in other countries. Glacier leaned against the counter.
So? Yeah, so?
Pest started eating again. Dante had to pay $500,000 to join that website. Think about the kind of money Barkley made on membership fees. He also bragged about how close he'd been to locating all the council members.
Don't all vamps know who they are?
She met Glacier's eyes. Definitely not. It's to protect them from vampires they piss off. I don't even know all their real names or locations. I'm guessing they're like Korski and must be masters in the cities of assassin houses, but it's just an assumption.
Who the fuck is Korski?
Glacier answered Pest.
He's the master of New York City where Mandy is stationed, and also the council member in charge of her team.
I'm thinking someone on the council might have seen what Barkley accomplished and stolen the idea. Perhaps not to destroy the council, but the money that website made? It was like sick vampire porn. Maybe the price of membership includes some council favors, like avoiding being arrested if they load videos. It would make sense why Marco almost got away with the shit he did. Standard procedure is to send an investigator in who checks out the details and then findings are presented to the council. Olivia and I were sent to kill a werewolf allegedly taking out that nest. But I honestly don't believe the council voted to send us based on real facts. My guess? Someone fudged that report and lied to them.
Who's in charge of sending out investigators and presenting the gathered facts to the council?
I don't know. It's not like we're invited to council meetings. Korski hands us our orders after they've decided we need to be sent somewhere.
Maybe they don't really give a shit what Marco was doing and just wanted to kill Lycans,
Pest stated. Glacier explained.
But they fear vamp Lycans. It motivates the council to police their own, to keep vamp Lycans from being called in. They don't want to start a war.
Glacier glanced at his brother and smiled.
Did you know vampires believe Gar Lycans never leave Alaska?
Pest's eyebrows rose.
I see.
Glacier nodded. Mandy saw the amusement on both brothers' faces. What am I missing? What's the undercurrent here? Glacier turned to her, grinning.
My brother and I have discussed it at length all our lives. We think Gar Lycans are way scarier than vamp Lycans. We just find it amusing that vamps see it differently. Maybe it's because vamp Lycans are half vampire. What do you think, Pest? Not to mention, Gar Lycans do leave Alaska sometimes.
Pest chuckled.
I've met a few. Scary fuckers. I ran into one in Texas just a few weeks ago. I watched him take out 4 rogue Lycans in under a minute flat. They were slaughtering cows and humans were becoming alarmed. It made the news. I was sent to investigate what was going on. He got there right as I did.
Her eyes widened. What does one look like?
Big, formidable. They have wings. He flew in from the sky while the Lycans were fleeing after attacking the herd and did this spinning thing like a fucking blender as he landed in front of them. His wings were stone hard and they just sliced through the bodies like butter. Lycan parts were flung everywhere. The bastard made me help him clean up his mess.
Glacier chuckled.
It kinda sounds amazing.
Pest rolled his eyes.
Whatever. I'm gonna go take a shower now that you're back.
He threw his trash in the fast food bag and hurried up the stairs. Mandy bit her lip. Have you ever met a Gar Lycan or a Vamp Lycan? He nodded.
I'm sent on a lot of jobs to investigate anything humans report that might be attributed to Lycans or vampires. They have the same job as I do. Take care of it and clean up the mess to keep humans from discovering what they're really dealing with. I will say one thing I do like better about vamp Lycans, though. They have the ability to slip into human minds and erase memories. I'd love to be able to do that. It would be damn useful.
She understood. She had the same ability to implant and remove memories from humans, as long as they weren't immune. She nodded, her mind already elsewhere.
Glacier's job was over, now that Marco wasn't alive anymore. What did that mean for her? She wanted to ask, but was afraid to. Would he kill her? Let her go? What would she do if he did give her freedom? Nowhere would be safe. It would only be a matter of time before the council found out she remained alive, if they had ever fallen for the ruse of her tracker being found with Dusty's ashes. For all she knew, a bounty had already been placed on her head. First thing, she'd have to let Olivia know she was alive. She trusted her. Then again, she was getting ahead of herself by implying Glacier would let her live. Shit.
Mandy, are you okay?
She lifted her head and met his gaze. Suck it up, Buttercup. Be brave. You took out the nest. What now? I mean, what's going to happen to me? His mouth parted. Something flickered in his eyes, but he didn't say anything. I could help you. You know, with the mine stuff. I could go on your next job. I'm not high maintenance. I mean, find me a dark closet to sleep in during the day and, lead me down an alley to find a blood donor every few nights. I don't kill innocent people. I wasn't lying about that. You can watch me to make sure. Any humans you need help with, I can slip into their heads for you. If you just give me a chance to... He suddenly invaded her personal space and put his hand over her mouth.
Shush.
Her hope died. He didn't even want to listen to what she had to offer. He lowered his hand and sighed.
I already decided to take you with me. I'm not going to abandon you for the council to kill.
Tears filled her eyes. Thank you. She didn't think, just flung her arms around his waist, hugging him. He wrapped his arms around her and drew her in tight, holding her. He spread his legs a little, lowering his height enough to rest his jaw on the top of her head.
We have things to discuss, though.
She closed her eyes, listening to his heartbeat. Her fangs throbbed a little, but she had control. No biting. I won't ever ask you for blood. I know how you feel about that.
Yeah, no biting ever. I'm in charge. You follow my orders. I guess you could say I'll be considered your new master now. I'm the boss. Is that agreeable to you?
She nodded against him. Yes, you already have my loyalty. He cleared his throat.
You might want to let me go.
She released him quickly and backed off. Sorry, I'm just happy. I'm grateful you don't plan to kill me, aren't just going to walk out the door and leave me here. I don't know where to go that I'd be safe. I mean, Olivia and I plan to move to Los Angeles in 12 years when our service time was up. But the master there won't take me if I'm wanted by the council. It would bring down hell on his nest. He stared into her eyes.
We need to sit down and have a serious talk. I have to call Kelzeb, though, first and give him my report. Why don't you go upstairs to the bedroom and close the door? I'll be up in a few minutes.
She bet he would make a list of rules for her to follow. That was okay. Glacier was a protector. He went after bad guys. She would love working with him. It would change her life in wonderful ways. No more council bullshit. She looked forward to it. Okay. She turned, rushing up the stairs. A smile curved her lips. The happiness faded slightly, though, as she entered the bedroom and closed the door. She had feelings for him. Always had, since she'd met him. He wasn't the settling down kind. Would staying with him mean watching him go off with other women for his one-night stands? She sat on the bed and closed her eyes. That would be rough on her. Painful, too. It would break her heart. What if staying with him turned into a hellish nightmare of her falling in love with him, but Glacier still refusing to be with her? He'd said to leave room in the bed for him when he came back from taking out the nest. But it would have woken her up if he'd lain with her. He'd avoided it. She closed her eyes.
Shit.
Chapter 9.
Two words for you, Glacier. Two fucking words. Joint effort.